Welcome to Crypto Nights, where we help you finally make sense of the trending world of cryptocurrencies. So gather your virtual piggy bank and let's get started.
Hi, Ted. Welcome to Crypto Nights. We are just so excited to have you on our podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's a great opportunity to be here. Thanks.
Yeah. So very excited. So I wanted to start off by having a little bit of an introduction to Ted Kim. Who are you and what's your background? And then maybe start digging into the backstory behind Inchurium and how Zicto led towards that and so on.
Oh, sure. So I'm an engineer. I'm an entrepreneur, but I'm an engineer. I had my undergrad degree in electrical engineering. And my grad degree as a computer engineering, I did a lot of like pattern recognition, machine learning, and data analysis, those kind of stuff a lot. So after I graduate, I studied at Purdue. After I graduate, I went to the LG Electronics Future Device Lab. So I did most of the like Y+5 of what LG Electronics should do. I did like surprisingly, I did a lot of like medical device, medical imaging, like image processing, all of that. And then I felt one of my best friend back in the college, we decided to start a startup instead of spending more time on the corporate. So David, his background is more financial guy. He was a stock option prop trader of one of the largest investment bank in Korea. So we got out and then we started the company name called Zicto. So Zicto was a wearable company. We made a wristband wearable that can track humans' walking posture by analyzing wrist movement. But the thing is, we actually found a tremendous opportunity in that rather using the wearable, the data that has been created has a really good source of understanding human behavior, which the insurance company was really interested in. So we start to provide a solutions to the insurance company saying that we have a wearable, you can track activity. We started from there. We were the first one who launched activity-based insurance product in South Korea. So it was 2015. So ever since then, we were more of the insurtech startup. Last year, we launched a platform called The Challenge that can consolidate all the data from not just a wearable, just wearable from not our wearable, just more, like Apple Watch, Fitbit, Garmin, Galaxy Gears, and as well as a smartphone. So we provide the solutions to the financial sector, so that last year we launched a credit card. Like if you walk 300,000 steps or more, you get 5% of your reward with your you spend on the credit card. So that was kind of the background of what we're doing with activity at that moment. But we actually saw all different kind of opportunity with the insurance sector, saying that insurance company does not want your medical data anymore, and the millennials, they don't really care about the life insurance or pension services, anything like that. So they're more focused on the micro insurance, or you know, insurance that actually can help you right away. Something that travel insurance, or maybe if you're in the car sharing, is more of a point to point. So when insurance company wants a lot of your lifestyle style data, like you know how much you walk, how you're sleeping, what you eat, your driving habit, where you go, where to travel. So insurance companies start to focus on those kind of thing, and then they don't really have that infrastructure, which we already have. We use all the application. You know, we already have the IoT device. So we came up with the protocol. We can connect with all the insurance company with that existing application, and then we give the incentive to the application developers as well as the user who create the value to the networks. And then for insurance side, they can just use that platform much in a cost-efficient way. So that's kind of the background of how we got into the business with Inchurium.
Oh, that is very, very exciting to me. I mean, that's, like you said, there is something called a credit score.
Yeah.
And if I have a better credit score, I have better rates when I'm taking loans.
Yes, exactly.
Here, I might be walking 10,000 steps. I have a Fitbit, you know, I might be walking 10,000 steps on a daily basis, but nobody knows that. And I'm not getting rewarded for that. And you're saying, hey, we can do that. First of all, we have the device and we collect the data and we can connect it to insurance companies and we can still give you control over your privacy and data, I'm sure. You're just giving them answers to insurance might ask, hey, is he healthy? And And you might say, what do you mean? And they say, okay, does he walk regularly, sleep regularly, on an average, is he doing? And then you will do the smart contract to check the data on a blockchain and come back and give them an answer. And so they have all the answers without having my data. I'm just guessing how you might have done this, so that you're protecting me, but rewarding me at the same time. Is that the general direction in which you guys are going?
Absolutely. As you mentioned, that it's the insurance industry is one of the least digitalized, like the sector of all. It's really conservative. They don't really need like digital, because everything they used to work with is a paper. So insurance is not just regular thing. You just pay them off, and then something bad happens. If you're sick, you get into accident, something like that. And now they just came up, you know, just more the financial risk catching states. The thing is, we all live different lives. You know, some people live maybe party every day. Some people go to the gym every day. Even though they may have a pretty similar medical records, that they do not have a cancer at their age of like 20 to 30, their expected, you know, risk is really different. So what they call underwriting, that's really different. So we want to differentiate the people who live a good life, that can benefit from what they're doing, and they're providing their data in a really secure manner. With all the GDPR Act going on right now, privacy issue, that has really sensitive, I mean, those kind of information is not medical record, but it's really sensitive. That's why we're making the permission-based blockchain, so that the ownership of the data belongs to the user, and that they will get benefit by providing their data like anonymously for the statistical record at the very first time. But rather, when they actually claim it, they are allowing insurance companies to just view their data and then see if that the claiming is right. So if you're living healthier life, it's more of approving yourself with your data. And then that data can be anywhere from, you know, walking, driving, you know, traveling, anything. So that's why the blockchain is like almost like the solution to bring all the players and then make sure that data is correct in order to be pass on the different third parties as well.
Got it. So when you were running this as that activity tracker and connecting to insured companies through insure tech, mm-hmm. did you actually see that insurance companies started giving discounts to some of your healthier clients?
Of course, the even from the United States, Oscar is really doing a great job. They actually started with the wearable device with a Misfit. If you walk 10,000 steps or more, they give you $1 reward with Amazon. But so they give you up to $20. And I believe the Oscar is now one of the largest insurance company. It was a startup. Now it's one of the unicorn startup that has been the New York State. So that's how we got and penetrate the millennial market at the very first time. And the insurance company, if you just go into any of the report from McKinsey, PwC, Goldman Sachs, all of them saying that they are going towards what they call usage-based insurance, or either technology-enabled insurance. It's the next chapter that a lot of insurance company is dying to go on, because now they can actually calculate the risk in much more detail, so that you can have like all different kind of insurance for each individual users.
Okay. So now let's talk about, so that company was called Zicto, I believe.
That was kind of what Zicto was, more of a focusing on the activity side, while the Insurium is more focusing on creating the ecosystem of whatever the data is, with the word creating the protocol between the application developer companies and the insurance companies as well.
So Zicto was a backstory that led to Insurium, and now you're working on Insurium, which is an ecosystem, the blockchain, the protocol, the various players, and how they operate together. So can we talk a little about, you know, the transition? What made you go from Zicto to Insurium? What does Insurium do? What is the vision?
We're sold the company to Zicto, and then Insurium is more of the project name we're having and the name of our foundation. So Zicto will be just one of the stakeholder of the ecosystem at this moment. But the reason why we got into the blockchain is really, last March, we got into the blockchain government-funded project with the SK Telecom, was one of the largest telecommunication company in Korea, with the coin plug and daily intelligence. So back then, the Daily Intelligence, which launched the Icon, was the first one who launched the crypto, run the ICO. And so they were actually saying, though, we're going to raise money in ICO. So we're in the blockchain consortium, but honestly, we didn't really focus to raise on the ICO market because we already had enough capital raised from the venture capitals. But then we found tremendous opportunity if we can decentralize our protocol in an ecosystem. It's more of opening up our opportunity for the ZigTo as well. So with this, starting from last year, we decide to write a white paper and then we try to create an ecosystem that can maybe decentralize the value chain of the insurance system. So that's how actually we got into the business. We prepared this for more than eight months. So it's kind of in the transition of whole team is now moved towards the insuring project. And so even though like existing platform, the challenge, people are getting the airdrop of the Insurium if they walk more than 10,000 steps per day already. So we're kind of utilizing existing platform to the insurance Insurium protocol.
Oh, you're already doing that. Okay.
Yes.
And so, how many devices in ZigTo? How big was your reach? How many people were there using your device? What was the penetration? What were the numbers?
So the number wise, it was pretty popular in Korea. We're selected as a like startup, South Korea startup, top 10 South Korea startup by the Forbes. So overall, we manufactured more than 30,000 units. It was actually dispersed all over the world, but mostly in Korea, maybe 60 to 70% was in Korea because we started as a Kickstarter in 2014. Back then, we had a lot of international users, but starting from 16 to 17, as I mentioned, we focus more on the insurance sector so that we kind of more focus on the insurance company in Korea so that we have more users now. And so we have the platform called the Challenge that kind of doesn't require you to have any wearables. You can work with any other wearable and your smartphone. That's actually has another 50 to 60,000 active user at this moment. And those users are getting airdrop with their activity at this moment.
That's why I asked you that question, because that community is your community and you're transitioning from there to here. So, and now you're telling them, hey, if you walk 10,000, I'll airdrop a token of Insurium.
Yes.
I think that's a brilliant idea. I love it.
Yes.
So, yeah. Tell me about now, how many, I don't know if you can, you're at liberty to reveal this. How many people have already gotten the airdrop tokens of Insurium so far?
We only started with like 2 weeks ago. And the people are really liking it. It's pretty much a lot of just Koreans at this moment. But, you know, when we have a messenger called Kakao, it's like a Telegram and WhatsApp in Korea. People join our room and they talk about the tokens sale, but a lot of people saying that, oh, I walked 10,000 steps today. I hit my goals. And they're saying, a lot of that, those kind of, we're happy that we're making people to walk more. We're giving them motivation and people really liked it. So I believe the airdrop is made around I think it's a little over 2,000 now. It's around the 2,000 people are getting airdrop with their activity at this moment.
Wow, congratulations.
And thank you.
For 2 weeks, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I love the atmosphere it's going on.
All right, so tell me about the Insurium blockchain. How is it going to work? I'm assuming my idea of blockchain and privacy and giving information carefully to insurance companies seems to be the logical way you're doing it, but I want to hear it from you.
Okay.
How is that ecosystem connected? Who are the players? What are their benefits? Why are they interested in this?
Sure. I think this is a really important question to understand actually the core of what we're doing. So we're going to first use the Ethereum chain at the very first moment. We're not making any private nodes coming with a new consensus algorithm. We'll be utilizing the Ethereum chain at the very first time because we really have to launch the insurance product anytime soon. So we'll be using the Ethereum chain at the very first time. The thing is we can't store all the data at the Ethereum chain because the gas price is way too expensive. It's actually more expensive than data itself to store. So, and it doesn't really make sense to store all the data. So the data provider, they will be the one storing the data with the encrypted manner. And the hash and creation data and owner, those kind of information, like critical information, will be stored in the public chain. And whenever user allow the access, it's more of the permission-based blockchain we're using. So whenever user allow insurance company to see your data whenever you need it, like you have to prove yourself, you walk more than 10,000 steps, whatever data you want to share. And then that way, insurance company can get the permission and then just view the data off of it and then just make sure that the data is there. And then they can just validate the data with the public chain saying that this data is correct. So we're using those kind of system. The ecosystem you mentioned, that's like one of the core part of the ecosystem. So we have to bring on board a lot of insurance companies as well as the application companies as well. So what we're actually doing is, so people are using the application without getting benefit and the data is being used with the company who have collected. So what we're actually doing is, of course, company give the opportunity to use the platform, but we're actually giving the incentive to the user as well, to providing their anonymized data to the insurance company, because the insurance company want to see the statistical data at the very first time. So whenever they do that, instead of insurance company to make all the ecosystem, developing the IoT device, developing the application, acquiring the user, they'll be just collaborating with any of the applications available. So with a cheaper price, so they just be making the smart contract, data provider will get benefit as well as the user will get benefit. And on the other side, the insurance company, as I mentioned, they can launch the product very timely fashion manner, because they don't have to reinvent the whole wheel. In order to do that, we have to bring a lot of people at our ecosystem at the very first time. So I think it's really similar to what Ethereum have done to their miners, because you know they supposed to get use the gas for the miners to get their benefits. But the thing is, at the very first time, the gas spend was so little. They add a lot of bonuses block for, you know, in order to miners to be on board. So what we're actually finding is we're bringing a lot of good insurance company be on board. So just going on board, we're generating a little portion of the bonus insurium to the first mover of the insurance company as well as the application companies on board. So now they can just kind of join it without supply and demand. They'll be just making a lot of insurium at the very first time. We are talking with a lot of global insurance firm already. And we're working really close, since we're in the insurtech business, we're working really close with insurance company who are willing to be on our protocol at this moment.
Oh, that's fantastic. So do you have you already signed up any of those big ones, or are you in the process of getting the first one?
So I can't really talk right now, but we're really close to, you know, working with them, and we do have a pretty firm deal, but we can't just open up at this moment.
I can understand that, yeah. But the fact that you have, or you're close to, or you already have a deal, the first deal, I think is of great importance to the credibility and validity of Insurium. So congratulations. That's very exciting.
Thank you. I think that's one of the important factors, since we're already on the insured tech business for 4 years, that was kind of easier for us to persuade a lot of good insurance company be on board to the protocol at the moment.
And I look for that, you know, even on our podcast, I'm always drilling down to find out, have you already been in business? Have you already done it? Now, I mean, in the case of you and your friend David, you have been in business, looks like, for 4 years at least or more. And you know how to do a startup, and it is not easy to do a devices, IoT startup. You gather the data, you connect it with insurance. See, the fact that you did all of these, raised money, VC money, and exited very good careers to do this, that is a lot. It's not like you guys woke up yesterday in the dorm and said, oh, we're going to launch. I got this idea. We'll put out a white paper or not. And as crazy as it sounds, I know probably Facebook came out that way, but I'm saying those kinds of are few and far between. The more dependable ones are like yours. You are entrepreneurs already. You're looking at a second business that is coming out as a child of the previous one, because of all the knowledge that you built up and all the relationships, and you're beautifully positioned because you understand the pain points and also the solutions and how blockchain can organically take this 10x or 100x forward and disrupt this industry.
Definitely. that's one of the thing of like, I'm really excited about that this business is because that we are in the business. We know what is actually needed. We know what insurance company exactly wants. So that's how we got into the business. I mean, as a Zikto, honestly, it wasn't easy. So it's been almost 4 years now. Ian Davis had a lot of struggle time. We raised these money from the venture capital, more than $4 million. But it sounds good, but we've been to a lot of different difficult times, but we got through all that obstacles. That's why we're kind of really confident of this industry and what we're doing with the ICO, that, you know, we know we'll make this happen. So it's really different from, you know, just coming out of ideas yesterday saying that, oh, I think this is a great idea. Why don't we start it? It's really, I think that's one of the different position we're at to start the project. We're really confident about that.
So before we go to the ICO, we'll go to that in just a minute. But before that, one last question about the ecosystem is, why are the insurance companies interested in Insurium? What do they want out of this?
So two things, great question. Two things. First thing is when they actually first onboard, they will be getting a lot of benefits. It's more of the bonus block. So they are actually developing their own product with really little amount of money and really little amount of effort, because a lot of our foundation will focus on bringing those kind of player to the ecosystem the very first time. So they'll get all the benefits from, you know, making all the thing going right away, those kind of stuff. And secondly, even without the foundation, just the protocol itself, the average cost of just making one application of their own cost at least like $1 or $2 million, and operating fee and all of the expenses. But with Insurium, is more of like pay as you go thing. If you only have 100 user, it's more of a user per month, maybe $1 user per month per user. You know, those kind of contract can be made with the smart contracts. So they don't really have to spend $1 or $2 million just to test the water. As long as they can just be in the protocol, they can just launch their product with a couple months and then, you know, just test the water. If it looks good, they scale it up. So that's why the insurance company always want those kind of ecosystem they can rely on.
Wow, I understand. So you have two major value propositions, right? So yes. One is the fact that it is going to cost them a lot, mm-hmm, if they were to do this on their own. And what, mm-hmm, was the other one? I don't think I quite got the other idea.
So at the very first time, we're getting a lot of first movers to generate the bonus. So we're generating the bonuses for the people who jump into our ecosystem at the very first time. So this, I mentioned, as a pretty same as what Ethereum is doing. So whenever they jump in the first, they'll be getting a lot of bonuses just by creating their smart contract with the existing players. So
the first mover advantage is what you're giving to the earlier.
Yes, office. Exactly.
Okay. Got it. So I understand the ecosystem and the benefits to the player. I'm sure a lot more is there, but I think we got a fairly good idea. Okay. Now let's switch to the ICO. How much money are you raising? Why are you raising money? Is it for marketing, technology development? Is it, what is it for? And how much are you raising? What is your timeline? Let's get into some of those things.
Okay. So we're raising, our market cap is total $30 million. We are crowd sailing 65% of, which is 19.7, around like $20 million. We're getting the whitelist at this moment. We'll be starting our pre-sale starting in May. We haven't really decided the exact date yet, but it will start in May. And then most of our money, like maybe 30% of the money will be used in the development. 30% is more the reserve that for the future references. But most of the money we'll be using is we have to do a lot of, to bring a lot of insurance company to bring on board, application company bring on board, and we have to make them work together. So a lot of business development as well as developing as well. So development side, we're not, as I mentioned, newly creating the new chains, but we still have to make the protocol to work right. I mentioned we'll be working at the Ethereum at the very first thing, but we're more focused on to be using some other chains, such as maybe what they call third generation, either that can be Cardano or EOS or maybe Hashgraph, RSK. I'm not sure. We're just exploring different kind of possibility because I definitely like Ethereum, what they're doing, but it's somewhat, we have a obstacle that can be applied to the business level at this moment. So we will be using the Ethereum chain to make sure that our MVP, everything goes all right this year, maybe until early next year. But now we're exploring a different opportunity that we can use with a different chain. So those kind of money for the development money will be spent on to make selecting the right chain and then making the right protocol with all different insurance company and all different application companies. And the other portion will be used in the business development as well.
Got it. So there's a portion that goes into technology. There's a portion that goes into business development. Mm-hmm. Okay. And out of the 30 million, 19.7 million is through crowd sale. And mm-hmm. the remaining 10 million, I'm assuming, is through private sales?
We're actually in the private sale and getting pretty good attention from the investor at this moment. So we're actually closing a lot of deals with the strategic investors and private investors who can really add value to our network. So not just having money, it's more of bringing insurance company on board, insurance player, huge application developers, telematic devices, IoT devices. So we're getting a lot of investment from those kind of sectors as well.
And is much of the private sale happening in Korea itself, many of these players?
Not really. So now I'm in San Francisco now. We just had a meeting with a lot of good funds, advisor as well. So we had a good amount of money from Korea. But the thing is, our platform is meant to be work as a global platform. We're more focusing on the overseas. So we want much more attention and advisor from the overseas so that we're a little bit holding the monies from Korea. Rather, we're seeking more investor and advisors from the overseas at this moment.
Which makes a lot of sense. Okay. And can you give us a little bit about the timeline of your ICO? When is a private? When is a public sale? What are the dates?
We're getting the whitelist already. We're supposed to start at early May, but we ended up getting too many requests from the private sale. So we're a little bit having the hard time to close everything out, but we're definitely going to start during the May pre-sale. So just to make sure that you go on the whitelist and add yourself. And maybe during the May or even early June, the actual public sale will start, but the pre-sale definitely will start in May, in time frame of May. And we'll be announcing that on our Telegram channel as well as our website as well.
And then when will the pre-sale end?
Pre-sale, it's 2 weeks. It's for the 2 weeks. We're thinking around maybe like third week or second week of the May so that it ends before the May. And the public sale will start after that within 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay. And then, after 2 to 3 weeks. So somewhere around June is the public sale.
Maybe late May or June, and then it should be definitely done by June.
Okay. And any other vanity metrics like Telegram, anything exciting? Because some people like to tell us about the Telegram numbers or something like that. Do you have any exciting onboarding figures already? I know you already told me about 10,000 steps airdropping of tokens, people publicizing that and getting their airdrops and a couple of thousand already. That's in a couple of weeks. So you already told me that. Any other numbers like that that are exciting for the people to hear?
Oh, yeah. Well, we're getting for the media cover. So it's more of a Korean side. If you type Korean at any of the search engines, we're getting a lot of cover from the media, like traditional media, not just crypto media, just a lot of traditional media are getting focused because we were Zito was doing the ICO. That's one of the draw the issues. So we're getting a lot of attention, and as well as the airdrop method we're talking about that our existing platform, the challenge, a lot of people are joining. Now they're walking. As long as they walk 10,000 steps, we're airdropping. So a lot of people in the Telegram channel, they're actually making a lot of comments of, I walk 10,000 steps per day. Instead of just like when is the pre-sale starts, or those kind of metrics, there are a lot of people are saying that, I got healthier, they're more interested about. Our Telegram channel started like last month, and then now it's at 5,000 and it's growing pretty rapidly. So that's our current status for some of the numbers at this moment.
Oh, that's very exciting. Okay. So what about the regulations? I know that right now you're probably coming after the funds and high net worth individuals, accredited investors. So that's that's a traditional route of raising money. Mm-hmm. But if we pretend that your public sale is happening in June, you're raising $20 million, and I'm sitting here as an American, mm-hmm. Would I be able to participate, or will that be restricted to some countries only?
We do have some restriction. I'm afraid America is only allowing the credit investors. I mean, I can't help with that. So yeah, so that's one of the country, and we do have a few other countries like China and some other countries that are prohibiting the ICO. That's something we can't really handle. We're in, our foundation is incorporated into Singapore. So as long as we're following the guidance with the MAS, so as long as we have their control, we're fine. But we can't really do with any of the, you know, those kind of issues at this moment.
So where do you expect your crowd sale, your public sale? Where do you expect much of the 20 million to come from? Which countries?
Definitely in Korea. We're more focused on the Asia Pacific. We do have a tremendous, we already got a lot of people from the Thailand, Malaysia, Hong Kong, Singapore, they're signing up for the whitelist already. So we're getting pretty good amount of traction there. So we're expecting to be raised pretty much about those money from the Asia Pacific regions as well.
And how are you getting all the publicity? How are people getting to know about your whitelist?
The private sale went pretty okay. So I'm not sure how much we'll be opening to the public at this moment. But we haven't really do a lot of PRs at this moment. We're more focusing on to find the strategy partners, investors, and make this economy go right. I think just raising money is something that, you know, that will come eventually if we do make the right ecosystem with the right advisor, with the right investor. So we haven't really focused on that. But I think it's more the word of mouth. People are just jumping on the board. I honestly don't know how they're actually got into our website. But, you know, a lot of people are showing the interest for our project. So it was really interesting. So I wasn't expecting people from Malaysia to Thailand, but we're getting a lot of getting the whitelist from those kind of countries as well.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, very excited about that.
All right. So did I miss any questions? Are there some other key points you wanted to communicate to our audiences?
Well, I you pretty much cover a lot of thing we're going. I just want you to understand how insurance industry is changing, what blockchain can benefit those kind of industry, and then we're kind of mixing those kind of two industries all together. So we're really excited and confident about what we're doing. Just stay tuned.
Very exciting. And I wish you all the best. But can you give us a link if you want some of our listeners who are interested in checking out more information? Where should they?
Definitely. So insurium.co. It's insurium.co. I just want to address that we do have a scam site. It's insurium.tech. They just copy and paste it. Yeah, they have their own Telegram channel. They are really active, I guess. Just make sure to stay out of the scam site. It's either you just type www.zikto.com and they will lead to our website. Either just insurium.co, insurium.in. So yeah, just make sure to stay out of those scam site.
Good, good. Thank you for letting us know about that. And very, very excited. And we wish you the very best. Very happy to have you on our episode, Ted. Yeah.
It's an honor to be here. Thanks for inviting me. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Knights. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now at www.cryptonights.io.